Welcome back to our podcast. This is episode 5, interview 4. Today we have Miss Frida Inosa. She is getting a master's in biology. She can tell us her specific field. And she is doing this master's in Sweden, and she is from Sweden. So Frida, could you introduce yourself and give us a little information about your background?
Hello, everybody, all the listeners out there. My name is Frida, and I am from Stockholm, Sweden, and I'm currently getting my master's in medical research at Uppsala University, Sweden's oldest university, actually, fun fact. I'm doing my second year right now, so I'm doing an internship at Karolinska Institute in Stockholm, Solna, where I'm working on a project regarding wound healing, more specific, the metabolic changes in wound healing. I completed my undergrad at UNO. Whoop, whoop, go Privateers. My bachelor's degree was in just biological science, and I also got a minor in chemistry, and I was on the track team where I met Fatike.
Go UNO. All right, so we can talk about some of the contrasts between, I guess, both our undergrad and grad school, if you'd like to, and just going from general biology to the medical application of things. Were you always interested in medicine? What made you pursue medicine, and what is really interesting about your wound healing project so far?
Okay. I think I've always been interested in medicine and like the, more of the human body aspect of biology. I already forgot the other questions.
It's okay. Okay, so I said maybe I should just ask one question at a time.
Yeah, what was the other questions?
Okay, let's talk about the wound healing question first, and then I'll circle back to the other two.
Okay. Well, like the most interesting part for me is learning on the new techniques during this project. And it's also like interesting because what I'm specifically doing, because I'm only a master's student, so I'm responsible for just a small part. And what I'm looking at is the wound pathway in the cells and how that affects, well, like cell migration, like oxidation, glycolysis, and stuff like that. And the fun part is like, so we actually learned during the first year of a master's about cell signaling and stuff. And so the wound pathway was a part of that. So it's kind of cool of just applying that now in like my knowledge in my internship. But yeah, so what I'm doing is I'm inhibiting this pathway and just looking at what changes happens in the cell and stuff. Yeah.
As far as contrast between undergrad and grad school, would you say it's easier or that you get a better grasp on the applications than undergrad potentially?
Yeah, you do, but I wouldn't say that it's actually not harder than undergrad, your master's. Not like, I mean, studying is studying, you know?
Yeah.
So it's not hard, like you're doing the same thing, you go into more of a detail now. Your master's is more fun in that way that you go into detail way more and you apply what you learn in class a lot during like your labs and stuff. So that was a lot of fun. There's also, I think that's,
Okay. I'm like, That's totally fine. I get where you're going. That as far as decisions, so biology is a very wide and broad field, so
definitely
you go into you know, studying medicine, you could go into studying plants, mm-hmm. animals, you mm-hmm. could study people without touching people.
That's true. Without touching people.
Yeah, that is the thing. What about the wound healing process as opposed to, I guess, creating medicine or, you know, directly practicing medicine is of interest to you?
I mean, I would love to directly, like, practice medicine. I mean, if you want me to be completely honest, as of why I chose this project, it was more of not only, I mean, the project is interesting, but I mean, I was interested in a lot of things. Like, I could definitely see myself doing like cancer biology or something like that, or going into more like bioinformatics. Yeah, if you want me to be completely honest, it was also about like the location of.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, I could have chosen a lot of different projects regarding like medicine or like drug production is also very interesting. But I mean, I had to look at what was available, and KI is a very good institute. It's the best institute in Sweden to study medicine. So that's kind of how I ended up doing this project and why I chose that.
And with the advisor that you have studying the wound healing, did you have to choose a specific advisor? And with choosing the advisor, do they work at the institute or do they work with the hospital?
So the advisor I have, or my supervisor, I didn't get to choose her because, I mean, it's only her project, so she's my supervisor. But the PIs, he's a medical doctor and a researcher. So he does work like at the hospital as well. So sometimes he's in the clinic and other days he's in the lab and stuff like that. And there's a lot of researchers, especially at the building I am at, that are both like medical doctors and researchers. So it's actually very cool to see them like bring the samples from the clinic to the lab. You will see like big gashes of like skin and fat where you take the samples and grow the cells from and stuff like that. It's really cool.
Have you always had a strong stomach for that kind of thing? Or okay,
stuff like that doesn't bother me. Just that, I think it's so cool, honestly. Yeah.
Could you walk us through the process of preparing those samples, or is that top secret?
I don't know if it's top secret. I don't get to do that because I don't have the training for it. But what I've seen or like observed in the lab, so the doctors or whoever is working on the project will go get the samples from the surgery, bring it to the lab, where they will make like small cuts and incisions and like plate them in an agar plate. Oh no, it's not agar. It's just the petri dish. And then they fill it up with media, like the appropriate media for whatever cells they want to grow. And then like after a few days, you will see like, if you look in the microscope, you will see how like fibroblast cells have like excreted from the skin and it's like in the media, and that's how they grow the cells from the patient samples and stuff. Yeah, so it's super cool.
That's really cool. how many days does the growth typically take?
So it depends on, honestly. Sometimes it will take like a week to grow cells. If you have cells that are frozen and you thaw them, you will have, well, it might take like 4 days to revive the cells. You thaw them on Thursdays, you revive them, and then on like Monday, you can plate the cells for whatever you want to do. Yeah. So it depends on.
A lot of questions, but with the revival process, how does that?
It's actually not that difficult. All you do is you take the samples from like the freezer, you warm them up in a water bath, and then you have a falcon with media and you just pour the cells in there. and then you play the cells. Not play the cells. You put them in flasks, actually, and grow them. Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah.
A standard protocol for that.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, let's jump back to undergrad a little bit. What were your expectations coming into UNO when you were doing track and biology?
Well, when I first came, I was actually a business student. So I didn't choose biology. I transferred, I changed my major my second year. So coming in as a freshman, I mean, I kind of just wanted to change from high school, like scenery. Like, I definitely thought it was going to be the next big thing in track. That's why I came to the United States, where you have all the stars, you know. And I thought it would be easier here to manage both school and sport, because it's that type of culture you have here in America.
And what about your assumptions were true? And what about your assumptions were false?
Well, it's called a student athlete, but you're more an athlete student. So track was definitely a big priority. It was hard to balance both, I would say, at times. Like, you had expectations on yourself, you wanted to compete like with your peers in class, but you also have to be at the track all the time. You had a lot of other things like community service, study hall, track meets and stuff. Like, studying on a bus, no, that's not easy. That is hard.
I remember one of the hardest parts for me, at least, was drawing the aromatic rings for
organic chem
on the bus.
Shaking, like trying to write.
Those things ended up looking like amoebas.
Yeah, no, that was definitely hard. Just, you have to take that L and just realize that you're not going to study during the.
Yeah, and it was kind of a fight too, because you really do have to advocate for yourself. Like, they do have, like, I guess, programs in athletics where they'll reach out to your professors, but I think it's really important that you reach out to them yourselves, so they can face to your name and see that you're really,
for sure,
like,
for sure,
their class.
I think that goes for all students. Like, I think it's good to, you know, introduce yourself to your professor so they know who you are, so you feel comfortable asking questions. Like, they're not going to chew you up if you ask questions. They're just going to answer your email, like, go knock on the door. Like, I've been at professors' doors at, like, 7 a.m. because I have to leave for a track meet, just, like, knocking. Like, how do I finish this homework? Please. Like, they don't, if they see you trying, I think they will appreciate it instead of you just, like, failing, you know?
Yeah,
don't be scared.
So I only did high jump, but you did the heptathlon, which is all of the events. Well, not it's seven, so you have to do three events per meet. How is it training for that, and how do you deal with the amount of stress on your body? Because that is a lot of
practice. That's a lot of stress. I mean, my body's broken. Like, how old am I? In my 20s, I have a bad knee, a bad hip. Like, you know what I mean? My elbow will never be the same. Like, I can't, you know.
Is the definitely elbow from jab?
Yeah, the elbow from jab. Like, literally, my elbow is, I don't know. I have a body of, like, a 40-year-old, I feel like. But it's definitely, you have to be able to plan a lot. So I had seven events. So I would, like, lift with the jumpers, go in the afternoon to, like, run with the runners, then throw, and then like, you know what I mean? So it's, if you have a coach who can really, like, put together a schedule that's, like, efficient, it is doable. Like, people do it, but a lot of late nights and early mornings, I'm not gonna lie, a lot of late nights and early mornings.
Okay, can you name the seven events for our listeners who don't know, and out of the seven, what were your top two or three? Like, you're like, I would still do these. These are my...
If my body would let me. Okay, so the heptathlon, it's seven events. So you start out with the 100 hurdles. Then you have the high jump. You have the shot put. You have the 200. You have the long jump, you have the jab, and you have the 800. And I would say that my favorite events were definitely, I mean, the long jump was fun. The hurdles was fun. The 200 was fun. Yeah, those were my favorite events, I would say.
What were the least favorite?
The 800, Lord. I don't know any heptathletes that like the 800. And if you do, that has to be like your strongest event. It is two laps of torture, literally. Like, and the way you feel afterwards, you feel sick. You feel like you have like something stuck in your lungs that you can't get up, and it's just terrible, literally terrible. But yeah, track is fun though.
As far as studying, I think just in our cases, it really didn't like hit us until maybe the last 2 years. Mm. With like the all-nighters and just like scrambling. How would you propose someone who's an athlete balance that schedule? And is it particularly doable? Because I know with our major, there are some semesters where you just have to do two or three labs.
That was hard. I'm not gonna lie. Like coming back for the night labs after like having practice, not showering, not having dinner, terrible. I mean, I feel like when I first came to UNO and I started my undergrad, I didn't really have a study technique. I didn't know how to study. So just like reading the book, like 2-3 days before the exam, I mean, you're gonna fail. Like, that's not a good way to study, you know what I mean?
It's your first year because, you know, you have like math and English and you're just...
Yeah, maybe like your first year, I'm not gonna lie, the first year was like, you could party, not study, and like still do okay in school, like, and do
classes, right?
Right, but I think it's good to, if you're a student athlete, make sure you have friends in class that you can get notes from on the days that you're not there. Make sure that that you're actually in class focused and not on your phone. Take notes. Then after class, like, go through your notes. Get tutors, because as an athlete, you have access to tutors. And you can just ask them any question. They can help you with your homework. I think it's a huge plus. But so just make sure that you don't wait until last minute to study. Like, study a little bit at a time. Read through your notes every night if you have the possibility. And yeah, I think that would be my tips. I mean, all nighters are going to be unedible. You're going to have to do it because some semesters are going to be heavy. You're going to have a heavy load. But yeah. Yeah. I think that's my tips.
And since we mainly traveled in the spring semesters, did you ever find fall semesters to be easier? Not in terms of subject matter, because, you know, you get what fits into your schedule.
Yeah.
But just in terms of managing study schedules.
For sure, because you have more time to study. You don't have to travel all the time, unless they make you run cross country. That's another thing. But otherwise, I feel like the falls are easier because you didn't miss class as much. You didn't have, I mean, you still have practice, which takes a lot of time. But like in the spring, sometimes you have to be gone like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and that's a lot of days, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, for sure.
And sometimes with Tuesday, Thursday classes, missing one class feels like missing two because you only
twice a week. You come back and it's like a whole nother topic and you're like, am I in the same class that I was last week? What's going on? Yeah.
What was one of the hardest courses you had to take, and how did you push through, and how did that help you figure
out? I know the answer. Sel and Malek. That, I mean, I don't know if it was that I didn't have the study technique or that I listened to people telling me to read the book, but that was a hard class. And I think I also took it during the spring when we were traveling. So I missed a lot of class. I mean, I think, do you remember, Fatike, I had to take the final, like, after conference, like the day after or something. And I was trying to, like, study at the meet and stuff. And I was just like, oof. I mean, Clancy, thank you for letting me take the final after conference, because I sure needed that extra 2 days to study.
Yeah. It was like going, we went through it, but I don't think I would really trade the experience. Because it kind of taught us how to multitask and so not to really make excuses.
Yeah, to push through, honestly, like no matter what. Yeah, but that was a hard class. I feel like physics wasn't hard. I mean, was it? It wasn't. I think I was just scared of it. Biochemistry, I was scared of. Like,
I didn't take it.
That was, like, the first two exams, I didn't even do, like, I knew the answer. I was so nervous that I was shaking the first 20 minutes of the exam. And so I would just read the question. And I don't know why, like, fill in answers at the wrong spot. Like, I knew what I was doing, but I was just nervous. I don't know. Don't believe what people tell you about the professors. So don't be scared going into classes, honestly. Just ask a lot of questions and you will be fine. Like, I don't know.
Definitely. I think there's a lot of fear in general in STEM, because a lot of people go in and they're like, this hard, this is gonna be the hardest thing you ever do. And
yeah,
it takes time. And for people who say, like, read the book, sometimes just reading the book alone doesn't work for everyone. Sometimes, like,
for sure not.
Better when they rewrite their notes, or like,
yeah,
notes while they read the book, so it's like they can chapter and process what their professor said.
So I guess just learn your study technique, honestly. If you find your study technique, it would all be more, or what works for you, it would all become more easy.
What was your favorite class?
I actually really enjoyed organic chemistry for some reason.
Which one? The first? The second?
The first one was, I mean, I did terrible the first exam. You know that. That's when I got a new piercing, because I failed the first exam. But I didn't fail it, but I got a bad grade. But I think the labs were so much fun. And I think that's when I kind of wanted to go into research also, after taking organic chemistry. That's when I wanted to go into drug development.
I think you took medicinal too, maybe. Did that
exactly
decision?
Yeah, with Trudel. That was a great class. I had a lot of fun. Yeah.
In Sweden, are the classes you're taking currently for your master's, are those in Swedish, in English, or is there a hybrid component?
So the master's I'm doing right now is in English. So there's a lot of international students actually in my program. I think, yeah, I'm the only Swede in my program. So in Sweden, they have programs that are in Swedish or in English, and there's also some hybrids. Yeah.
And with taking your classes, I think we talked about this a little bit off camera. You got to do genomics and kind of incorporate a little bit of coding into your master's program. Mm-hmm. Was there a learning curve with the application of this coding?
I mean, yes, I would say. So the first class we took was comparative genomics. And so in those labs, we had a little coding because we were doing genome-wide association studies. And so we were coding in R a little, and I didn't know anything. I didn't know what I was putting in, like what I was typing. I didn't know what it did. So I really didn't understand how I applied whatever data we had to like how I could analyze it. I was just doing the labs to do the labs. But then when I took bioinformatics, like a few months later, maybe 5 months later, it actually helped me to really understand the codes, what I was doing, how I was analyzing the data with what codes and stuff like that. So yeah, there was definitely a learning curve.
And how did you overcome this curve? Did it just come with time and practice? Or was it just very hands-on, like, let me ask my professor, let me ask my classmates, let me consult YouTube?
I was so disappointed of YouTube, because I thought I would get way more help. Like, usually if you don't understand anything, you can just YouTube it and they're going to explain it like in the basic way, whereas you can understand it. But with bioinformatics, I couldn't find like any YouTube videos that made sense really. So it actually came just with time, with like just trying to code more, like code as much as possible. Also asking questions and asking yourself, like, okay, what am I trying to do with this data? Okay, what code can I apply to it? Like, what have I learned? And yeah, stuff like that. Mm. And also asking classmates that had a little bit more experience.
What would you say to maybe students out there who get very frustrated with processes like that, but have to push through it because of a course?
I would say just remember why you're in that course in the beginning, like why you're taking the course, what's the end goal? And that will give you like a little more motivation, I think. Yeah. Yeah.
Outside of your master's program, do you still get exercise? Do you still have any hobbies currently, or are you just in the rough of your program? Is it just studying?
I actually do get time to work out. I think I work out maybe like 4 times a week. So I think that's good. You do have free time. I see my friends, hang out, go eat like at restaurants and stuff, watch Netflix like anybody else do. So yeah, you do have a lot of free time. And I think it would also have more free time since I commute to school. So it's a 2-hour commute one way. So I used to commute 4 hours a day. So there's definitely a lot of time, like free time, yeah.
How do you get to school, if you don't mind me asking? Is it like a subway system or?
Yeah, no. I used to take the subway a few stops, and then I take the train because it's in the next city. Uppsala is like the next city to Stockholm. Yeah. So from door to door is 2 hours.
And how is it just living in Stockholm? Just one in general and during this time, just for the people listening who haven't visited or might be curious about Sweden.
Well, I mean, Sweden is a small country, but Stockholm is a great city. It's very beautiful. I mean, now it's very dark because it's November, but if you come in the summers, we have a lot of greenery, like nature, close to the city, a lot of open waters and stuff. So it's a great city to be in. There's a lot of great restaurants and like events, shopping. Yeah, it's a great city. And now, I mean, in Corona times, and winter times, a lot of places are closed. There's like some restrictions and stuff. So there's not as much to do. We still have restaurants open and stuff that you can go to, but we can't be more than 8 people in one company. Yeah. But come to Stockholm. It's great.
I still eventually have to make my way over there.
You have to. We're waiting for you.
So another question. What are your goals for the future? I know you really like
good question.
People in general. Mm.
Good question, Fatika. That's a great question. Well, my goals. Yeah, I really do want to help people, even if it's like in a big scale, like through my research or as a medical doctor, like as my profession. Well, I'm about to graduate next year. Oh my God. So either I, go to the working world for a bit, hopefully for a pharmaceutical company, or I study medicine.
And by studying medicine, do you mean full-on med school?
Full-on med school. Wow, I really said that. Now it's out there.
Hey, only positive things can happen from, I guess, putting things out there.
To the universe. Mm.
How many years does that take in Europe? And is the process of applying to med school different out there? I think you might know the process over here since you maybe looked into it a bit.
Yeah. So medical school over here is actually 6 years. I know it's 4 years in the US, but they just redid the program in Sweden, and now it's 6 years and you can practice medicine after that. You don't have to do we call it outpatients, where you have to work a little. So the process is different because we don't have an MCAT test they have to take or anything like that. We also don't have interviews really. So there's only 5 medical schools in the whole Sweden. There's admissions in the spring and the fall, and you apply with your high school grades. That's one part. We have something called HP. It's like a test you take, but that's not only for medicine. That's for every university program, let's say, that you can take and apply with that. So yeah, those are the two ways that you can apply. Mm. And it's not like you have to write an application and send it in. We have a website where you go and you just click on the programs you want to apply to, and you rank them, and then that's it. Yeah.
And then they choose you based on your ranking, correct?
Based on your grades, but if you get accepted to your first, the institution that you have as your first ranking, then you would automatically be scratched from any other institution that you wanted to apply to. So you can't pick and choose that, or be admitted to multiple programs.
But with that same process, does that apply to other countries? Like, say if you wanted to apply to med school in
England,
I'm not sure. I'm not sure how many they have over there.
So yeah, if I wanted to apply to another country, I would have to go through their system. And usually in Europe, we don't have we have undergrad programs, but for let's say you want to study law or something, you don't have to do a bachelor's in, philosophy, or you don't have to do a bachelor's in biology to apply to med school. So you apply just with your grade. If there's another country, you might have to write a letter, just explaining why you want to apply, and you might have to have some letters of recommendations as well. Yeah.
Okay. Have you considered applying elsewhere?
I have. There's a, yeah, I mean, I have friends who studied in other places in Europe. But it costs money. It's not a lot of money since I'm in the European Union, but it's free in Sweden. So that's a big part of why I want to study in Sweden as well.
Okay, that's very interesting. So no huge overhead cost study.
Not at all. You don't have to take any loans if you don't want to. Education is free over here.
Any, I guess, signing off messages to our listeners? Maybe something about managing time, something about just their overall undergrad experience, even though they are during this whole time currently.
Yeah, okay. One thing that I definitely don't regret about my undergrad is that I had a lot of fun. So remember to like have fun and not just stress about school and assignments. Try to find like a hobby where you can, you know, let off some steam, let's say. But yeah, remember to have fun.
Yeah, and if they're able, just venture out into the city and
maybe do stuff. There's a lot, like New Orleans is a great city to be in. There's so much to do. Festivals, great restaurants, parties, if you're into partying. Yeah.
Wednesday.
Yeah. But yeah, New Orleans is a great city. There's a lot of tourism. There's so much stuff to do. So do it. Enjoy it, you know, while you're young. Because don't be in a rush to like grow up and get out into the working world. There's nothing out here, I promise you guys. Have fun.
Rock climbing gym. That might
be
Where did you go horse riding that one time? Horseback riding.
I think it was Audubon Park. Is that what it's called?
That's the large one, right?
I think so. By Tulane?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where I went. Yeah, that was fun. I forgot that I did that. Yeah.
Yeah, so if you're able, look for unique experiences to be.
Yeah, for sure.
You don't have
to. And also another thing that I really like about the programs in the United States is that you're able to like pick and choose classes. So don't be scared to don't just pick classes because it looks good or like if you want to apply somewhere, like take classes that you actually are interested in, you know what I mean, if you have the chance. Yeah,
there are plenty of
elective. Explore.
I don't have time during the semester. There's winter break and fall break. There's winter break and then there's the summer break.
For me?
Well, for over here. Do you
guys? Oh, for over there? Do you guys not have fall break anymore?
No, it was only 2 days.
Really?
Yeah, so this semester, they get to
go. Is that because of Corona?
Yeah, so we have some of the classes as hybrid right now, and then I think last week was the last week of in-person, and now they're online for the rest of the semester.
Oh, so you went back to in-person classes, and now you're going back to
online. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So we have had, like, online classes since March, so I haven't even been in, like, class really. Yeah.
All right, thank you so much, Miss Inosa.
Thank you for having me.
That is our episode. Thank you.